Good morning. Just for those of you that don't know me, quickly, I began working with corn rootworms in 1966 in Nebraska and continued more or less up until I retired a couple years ago. And I've been associated with IRAC, IRAC since it was organized. So this is a familiar and an enjoyable topic for me. So basically, I want to talk about is just a review of the spread of Diabrotica virgifera, from its origin to Europe. Initially, it started out in Central America, neotropical area, a univoltine insect, and its life cycle was very coordinated and synchronized with corn, and actually the species probably developed as corn was being developed by the natives there. Its host range is essentially corn, but there are a few other grass species that it can survive quite well on. And it developed and spread as corn spread up into the North America, up into the U.S. and the Kansas, Colorado area. But it really didn't become a pest until about 100 years ago when settlers moved out into the western part of Nebraska and Kansas and started growing larger fields of corn. And because the beetle really prefers corn, and it does well and does the best when it's continuous corn. So in a way, since corn is really dependent on man for propagation and spread, the beetle is intimately tied to corn. So in a way, it's very dependent upon us for continued abundance. So this is just kind of a timeline as from when I think the beetle originated, and then when it was discovered as a pest. It really wasn't much of a pest when the Indians were growing corn. It was probably a relatively rare species that existed on corn and some grass species in the prairie. And it was identified in the early 1900s. But by the 1940s, it was a major pest in the central Nebraska. And then in the 50s, it spread rapidly across Nebraska to the Missouri River and then into Illinois. And finally, by the 80s, it had crossed the U.S. And then in 1992, it was into Europe. So this is just a map to show how the virgifera, the western, moved up into the central part of the U.S. and then the Mexican corn rootworm moved up into the Texas area. Yeah, and a little bit of a timeline and a map that shows how it moved from this area, Colorado. At one point in time, the western corn rootworm was called the Colorado corn rootworm, and it moved across the state and then spread into the Dakotas, Iowa, and Kansas. And then a little bit later, cyclodine resistance was developed in Nebraska, and then it moved east with the beetle. And as far as I know, there is still cyclodine resistance in the western. So here's just a picture of the map where it originated in this area and then moved across the country to the 80s and back up into the a little bit north. And now it's includes actually a good chunk of the U.S. This is a map that shows the distribution and the intensity of the problem in the U.S. in 2007. So you can see that this is its basic area of greatest impact, but it's present and does cause problems in all these areas. So why did it spread that far and that fast? Like I said, it's tied to maize, so as corn growing intensifies, it benefits. And it does have a few grasses that it can live on, and that's only important, maybe not from a control standpoint, but it allows it to become established or remain in an area even when corn is not present. And the adults have a little wider range of diet. They can feed on, it prefers maize, but it will feed on soybeans or sunflowers, cucurbits, and then several grasses. But the species really can't survive well without corn in the environment. This is just a list or a partial list of non-corn species that have been shown that Dibrotica virgifera can live on. The species in white are species where rootworms were actually, the larvae were put on these plants and they could survive on those roots. The species in yellow were a species where a complete life cycle was shown to occur. So if you have some of these, the yellow species, the rootworm can survive and complete a life cycle. So even if there's not corn around, it does maintain its presence in that area. So once again, it occurred where there was low densities, and then it increased as the monoculture of corn became established. And then when irrigation was developed and cornfields became larger, the population of Dibrotica increased in geographic area and in size. And one of the things that helps that is the adults are very mobile, and they're capable of both a short and very long range flight. And diapause that the virgifera has is important because it conferred the univoltism in the species that's synchronized with corn, so that it really allows the species to survive in a dry season in Central America. But as the beetle moved north, that same diapause allowed it to escape winter because it's synchronized with corn. And then what I found is the univoltism is directly related to the host range and secondarily associated with the climate. So just to kind of reiterate that, increased irrigation and increased corn acreage, and also the development of more and more continuous corn and a reduction of rotation contributes to the expansion in both numbers and geographic area of the species. And we've seen that as corn became more and more valuable to grow, the beetle populations increased with it. And the beetle is also very adaptable. It has developed resistance, and most notably in the early 60s, late 50s, to the cyclodienes. And at that time, those products were applied essentially border to border, and they had long residual. So that the species was under intense pressure, and it had the choice of becoming extinct or becoming resistant, and we know that it became resistant. Then later in the mid-90s, there was some resistance developed in Nebraska and in a couple counties where they were spraying adults essentially from border to border with carbaryl and with methyl and also with a pyrethroid. And resistance developed in those counties. And I think it's because the selection pressure was very intense, because I was out in some of those fields and there was essentially nothing moving. But where the banded granule applications were put on, resistance didn't develop. So I think we have to remember that if under intense selection pressure, this species can develop a resistance. You can also see the behavioral resistance with the rotation that developed and was observed in Illinois in the late 80s. And that is where they had started an intense corn-soybean rotation. And there was a pretty high compliance to that. So over the years, you had a large area where the fields were corn and soybeans alternated. And the theory is that some of these beetles will, if the beetles stay in the cornfield, the next year that will be soybeans, so when the eggs hatch, they starve. But if you have beetles that are ovipositing in the soybeans, the next year there'll be corn there and the beetles will survive. So this is really a resistance issue. And I think that if there hadn't been this movement of some beetles into the soybeans, a corn-soybean rotation should maintain control indefinitely. Unfortunately, the beetles don't all stay in the cornfield. And they can move maybe 30, 50, 60 feet from a cornfield into a soybean field that's going to be rotated. And that's what caused the problem. Now, as far as I know, there is no variant beetle strain in Europe, but I'm not sure it's that easy to detect. And I'm sure that there's continued introductions into Europe. So eventually, if they get into a situation where there is a short rotation of corn and some other crops, soybeans or sunflowers, you could develop the same situation as we see now in the U.S. that's spreading. So the beetles followed the corn, but when they hit the East Coast, they can fly a long ways, but they can't quite fly across the Atlantic. So they went to Chicago and jumped on a plane at O'Hare and flew into Belgrade. And they probably got there about 1988, but the first recorded incidents. Oops. Get out of that. So they got into Serbia, Belgrade, sometime around 1988 or 1990, because the first incidents, they really had root damage. And then you can see from 1992, there's been a general spread across Europe. And as late as last year, 2007, they had gotten into Germany. So the beetles have spread from this central and initial insertion point to covering most of Europe. And this is, and the thing that's come along with this is that corn growing is also increased in Europe. But this is a map that shows that the original point, source point, was here. And then each year from that time on, the area has increased in size, and then it is also increased in intensity. So they've had traps out looking and monitoring the movement. And then a couple years later, it had spread even further geographically, was found in Italy and these other countries, and had gotten into France. And by 2004, there were more areas, and some of the smaller areas where they detected the beetles, the area had expanded, and the severity of the problem on the corn in those areas was increasing. And at that point in time, they had even crossed into the UK. So now you've had beetles that are spreading completely across Western Europe. And then in 2007, this is the latest map I've got, the original point source here has expanded a bit, and you're seeing more points where the beetles are moving and establishing. Now some of these, like we're seeing here in France, they've searched for them but not found them, so that they maybe those populations didn't survive. But now we've got beetles everywhere. And I thought, basically, if you plant the corn, the beetles will come, even if they have to wait a while to catch a plane to get across the ocean. And so there are several factors that contribute to the dispersion in Europe. The rugifera has a very high reproductive potential and is capable of both long and short range dispersal, has a large amount of genetic diversity, and it's shown that it can develop resistance and adapt. It's very adaptable, and it's even adapted to crop rotation. And the diapause that it has, although it's in the population, it's possible to have strains like they developed in South Dakota where there is no diapause, or it can be more or less intense to adapt to the local situation. And that has helped it to maintain its association with corn. And another thing that's really helped spread the beetles is the males can find females over a considerable distance. And that probably goes back to when it was a very low population level in the prairies, because the beetles had to find each other to mate. In the local movement, there's a lot of intra-field movement, and if you have a continuous cornfield, it only takes a year or two for it to spread throughout the field. And there's also some movement from corn naturally into whatever crop happens to be next to that field. And so it can move about 50 meters, and that's not unusual. So you don't have to have the variant to move from corn into a non-corn crop. It just, for this population to develop, you just have to, the beetle has to hope that the next year is going to be corn and not another non-corn crop. But the beetle is also capable of some very long-range movement from one cornfield to another, and it'll move from early planted corn that's beginning to dry out or to mature, and it'll move to a later planted field where there's more pollen, better silks, because it likes pollen and silk. And for the long-range movement, females will oftentimes make long migratory flights, and they tend to fly in the evening, although there is some movement in the mornings. But with some laboratory studies that they did, you can find that the beetles are capable of moving 15 miles in a sustained flight, and they can move 25 miles in 24 hours. And this only occurs through a relatively short time in their life cycle, but it's possible for beetles to move considerable distances without storm fronts, without trucks and cars carrying it. And I think part of that is what we're seeing, the spread in Europe from these point sources of introduction. The beetles just naturally, once they hit a certain population level, can move on their own in more or less a non-directional area. If there's a storm front, excuse me, a storm front coming along, it can move the beetles 50 to 70 miles. I mean, it's not unusual for them to find millions of beetles along the shores of Lake Michigan that have been pushed ahead of a storm front. And I think that is what contributed to the move into Europe, is that if you look at a map and you see the direction that the beetles move, it goes right across O'Hare. And if you've got giant jumbo jets out there with their cargo doors open at night, some beetles will end up in those planes, and then they can survive an international flight. The thing that's important when the beetle gets to its destination, which happened to be Belgrade to start with, it has to find a cornfield, and it has to find a cornfield that it can oviposit in, and that the next year will be corn again. So the odds are really stacked against survival. I think the five points that they've identified as introductions, that over the years there have been probably hundreds of introductions, but they didn't survive. But once they had a toehold, now they're expanding exactly the same way as they expanded from western Nebraska to the East Coast. And another thing that's happened is that when they arrived, they found their favorite host there, and they were relatively large fields. And some of these fields were continuously cropped. Some of them were for forage, and they just cropped corn year after year after year. So it was an ideal situation once the beetle got there that it was home. And then there was really a lack of effective biological control agents. And really, as far as I know, are not really highly effective pathogens or parasites or predators that will really keep the population in check. And as I said, there have probably been multiple introductions, and then they'll spread from the original site. The five sites that have been identified and verified is Lombardy, Italy, Paris, Basel, Amsterdam, and London. Each of these sites is a site of an international airport with corn growing just on the other side of the airport. So it's a perfect situation. So I guess I've speeded along here. But the development of the corn gave the Virginia a perfect environment, because as we spread corn and developed it as a crop, the beetle came along with it. And if you think about it, the corn was an introduced crop into Europe. So North America or the Central America donated corn to Europe. The crop's been growing there for a few hundred years. It just had to wait for the beetle to arrive to exploit that. And corn growing conditions in Europe are fairly similar to what we see in the U.S. in the Corn Belt. I mean, there are differences, but it's similar enough that the beetle did not have to make large adaptation. It was already suited for the corn that was there. And something else that's happened in Europe in the latter years is that corn growing's increased, the number of continuous corn fields has increased. Okay. So they're following what happened in the U.S. And so it was a perfect opportunity once the beetle became established for it to grow. And I think that it's likely to continue to expand its range and severity depending on what happens to the growth of corn as a crop in Europe. And because you can see that it can develop resistance and adapt, that it's going to take a number of different programs to keep it in check. It could take transgenic corn, two-year crop rotation, and I know the Europeans don't like it, but some insecticides are going to have to be used. But it'll take a multiplicity of approaches to keep the beetle under control. Thank you. That's it.